A little lad fell down the basement stairs and was taken to the ER for examination. While the doctor and nurses were checking him out, the little fella asked them a question. He asked, "May I sing?" The doctor replied, "Why do you want to sing?" The boy answered, "I'll feel weller." And he did so and felt better. I think maybe he understood some of the benefit of singing. So my desire is to encourage us to sing and look at some benefits of singing. We are a singing people, and I'm blessed with that. But, I was encouraged again as I looked at the Word, what the Word has to say about singing, and I want to be an inspiration this morning to sing with our families, sing corporately here, sing by ourselves. So Ephesians 5, 19 is often where we go to, very popular verse. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And also in Colossians 5, 16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Also Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. I'd like to read an excerpt from that John Dee wrote here in the introduction to the hymns of the church. God sings. He will joy over thee with singing, Zephaniah 3:17. Moreover, our singing God takes particular note of people who sing his song and responds by coming to dwell among them. The psalmist spoke of this powerful reality when he said, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, Psalms 22:3. Christians who sing experience God's continual guidance, blessing, and presence. They also have a prophetic word from God, deliverance and power in times of need. Coupled with prayer, genuine praise in song is the Christian's most powerful resource. According to John Dee, that's what he says. I found that intriguing. Coupled with prayer, genuine praise in song is the Christian's most powerful resource. Moreover, song is the authentic evidence that a person is filled with the Holy Spirit. Like in Ephesians 5, it says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. In the battle against powerful spiritual foes, singing is not an optional activity for the Christian. Indeed, for our great benefit, God commands us to sing in many of the 300 references to song in the Bible. The Christian who has no song is spiritually handicapped. Therefore, we urge all Christians everywhere to sing in every circumstance. That was a blessing to me as I read that. Singing is not an optional activity for the Christian. Remember hearing testimonies of people that were going to be burned at the stake, and they went singing. Or other stories in the Martyr's Mirror, or I've heard other testimonies of people that sang in the midst of challenging times. And that's something that I want to encourage us with. So, benefits of singing. Personal benefits. So I'm going to look at personal and corporate. So personal benefits, intimate fellowship with God. Singing can bring intimate fellowship with God. Thanksgiving, praise, building faith and courage. As you sing, it can build faith and courage in our hearts. Lifting our thoughts off of the present circumstances and onto God and others even. Take the thoughts off of ourselves and onto God or others. Obedience to God's command to sing. Personal benefit. When we obey, there is a personal benefit there in singing. Memorization. So I don't know if y'all have done this, but setting some scripture, the song, or at least a rhyme can help you memorize it better. Anything with a rhyme, you tend to memorize better. So a personal benefit, memorization, and an expression of creativity. Our God created music, and I believe we can, as an individual, and also corporately, a lot of these would fit corporately also, but we can be creative and develop songs, write songs, hum a tune that is maybe our own little tune, but we can be creative and express ourselves. Some of the deep inner feelings of our heart can come out in our thoughts when we sing and when we meditate in those ways. Corporately, corporate singing, elicit God's presence. When we sing, we are asking for God's presence. We enter into the heavenly realm. I enjoy getting up here. I don't do it just a whole lot anymore. But I enjoy standing in front of a group and leading them in worship, leading in singing. And there's something about it that just enters into the heavenlies. And it can be a beautiful time. Another thing, another benefit of corporate singing is telling stories of victories. So we're going to look at some of the songs in our hymnal here later. And victories, you know, telling stories of the victories. And also in the Bible, we're going to look at some of the songs that are recorded in the Bible even. Telling stories of victories and uniting, singing together corporately can unite us for the purpose of praising and giving thanks, teaching and admonition, and that's a form of prayer. So corporate, one of the benefits of corporate singing is to unite us. So harmony is not just one. You're not harmonizing with yourself. You have melody. When there's just one, you have melody. But then when there's two, you can harmonize. And there's a beauty in harmony, in unity, in doing something together for a good purpose. So let's look a little deeper at Ephesians 5 and at Colossians 3. So take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians 5, and we're going to read verses 15 through 21 to get the context of singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay, Ephesians 5, 15 to 21. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. One word that I would like to, or thought that I would like to draw our attention to is one another. Here in this passage, it's the whole theme just woven through here is one another and doing it together or communicating together. And that's something that I find very enriching. So not just personal, singing and making melody and so on, but also corporate and how it can bring us together. So I read what Matthew Henry had to say, some of his thoughts on these passages, and just bring a few of them out. Be not drunk with wine. He said there were heathen festivals where they worshiped their idols. There was they often inflamed themselves with wine and indulged in all manner of lust. And there was obscene singing, profanity, so on. And we've seen that in some of these drunks. Some of them sing. You know, some of them make a lot of noise. And you can tell when someone's drunk, sometimes they're singing and just being out of themselves in a sense. They're filled with the wrong spirit. So we are to be filled with the Spirit, God's Spirit. And this being filled with this Spirit, something that Matthew Henry said, the meaning of the exhortation, this is a quote from him, the meaning of the exhortation is that men should labor for a plentiful measure of the graces of the Spirit that would fill their souls with great joy, strength, and courage, which things sensual men expect their wine should inspire them with. So you've probably heard the saying, I did, reading books and hearing people say, that they took a little wine to steel their nerves if they had a tough job to do, or maybe soldiers or people like that. If they're half drunk or drunk, they're out of their mind. They can do things that they wouldn't normally do. Give them a false sense of courage, maybe. Matthew Henry wants us to consider that being filled with the Spirit of God will give us great joy, strength, and courage, because we need strength and courage. We have tough things to face in life, and being filled with God's Spirit can give us that strength and courage, and singing can also give us that boost or that strength. It can fill our hearts with joy, even in the midst of challenging times, and can give us courage to take the step forward. The Spirit of God is given as a spirit of wisdom and understanding. So there's nothing irrational here, or like, you know, it is wisdom and peace and understanding and courage and strength and joy. There's self is not being fulfilled here. There's no debauchery. Or when you're filled with the Spirit of God, when you're addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, there is peace and joy and even wisdom is extolled, is given out. Admonition. Those drunk with wine often sing, but their songs are profane and obscene. I had said something about that earlier. Those filled with the Spirit of God sing in worship and joy to the God of heaven and earth. Their singing also is for their own and others' edification. Notice that this singing must be from the heart, not just lip service. So making melody to the Lord with your heart. There is a possibility to, when we sing, to just be lip service, to not be really from the heart. And Paul is saying here to the Ephesians to be making melody from the heart, with the heart. Then I want to look at Colossians 3. It's very similar, the writings that Paul gave to the Colossians is very similar to Ephesians, but just a slightly different. So Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Found that word interesting. In perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So notice several things here. The word harmony. So above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So there's a working together. There's a harmony when love is there. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And you're called in one body. So there is only one body, Christ's body, but there are many members. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, and that you can be singular or plural. Dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So, also notice thankfulness. So, having a thankful heart, giving thanks, is a very big part of this singing. And we want to be always grateful and giving thanks. So what are psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? I don't know that I have that all figured out. Some thoughts that I have. The psalms could be, it's referring to here, could be David's psalms. The book Psalms, a lot of them are written if we knew Hebrew, it would be in a rhyme form, or it's in a poetical form. Also, psalms could be maybe arrangements for musical instruments. It says that David used a harp and played, and I'm assuming that some of these psalms that he wrote, he would have sang with his harp. Especially songs of thanksgiving and praise, I would put underneath the psalms. Songs of thanksgiving and praise. Also scripture, singing scripture would be a very good thing, and I'd put underneath the psalms. Hymns and spiritual songs. I didn't really break those two out, really. But hymns and spiritual songs. Poetry put to music telling stories or teaching and admonishing. So poetry that is teaching, that's put to music, that is teaching and admonishing. Proclaiming a message and asking for a response. A lot of our songs was proclaiming a message And it elicits a response. It's asking a question and wanting us to respond from the heart. A lot of our hymns are outlining doctrine and teaching wisdom. So those are some of the thoughts that I had on the psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. I haven't sung a lot of the psalms. I mean, we have a few that we sing, but I think that would be a beautiful thing. I've had a few recordings of people that have put psalms to music, and it's beautiful. I forget what the name of the one recording is that I have. They sing psalms. Oh, I forget now. If it's 119, they sing through a lot of that one. But anyways, that would be, if somebody wants a challenge, put some of these psalms to music in fulfillment of this command. We are commanded to sing psalms. Okay, a few scriptures to meditate on. 1 Corinthians 14:26. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. And this is what we want to get to. Let all things be done for building up. So let's remember, in our corporate services, let all things be done for building up, whether it's a song, a hymn, or a lesson, preaching, whatever. Be done for building up. All right? Something to meditate on. James 5:13. So are we building up with our singing? James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing praise. If you're cheerful, sing praise. Hebrews 13:15. So the context here is Jesus was suffering without the camp, or Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. And this is the verse I wanted. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So here it's talking about singing or the fruit of the lips, and I'm taking the liberty to say that can be singing, can be a sacrifice of praise to God. So let's meditate on that. Sacrifice of praise to God. Psalms 27, verses 1 through 6. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter. In the day of trouble he will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with the shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. So we don't, back in the Old Testament time, the place where you went to worship was in the temple. And that was, you know, what you're supposed to do. You go to the temple with a sacrifice. And David is saying here, I believe it's David, Psalm of David, yeah, that he wants to stay all the time in the temple. He wants to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to inquire, to pray, to meditate in his temple, and asking for God to shelter him when there's trouble and when he's being beset upon by his enemies. Then he says, I will sing and make melody to the Lord, offer sacrifices with shouts of joy. So how can we, as we meditate on that, how can we do that in our lives? We now have the Spirit of God living in our hearts. Each one of us can be and are the temple of the living God. We have that Shekinah glory, maybe you could say even, that mercy seat in our own hearts, or the Spirit of God can be in us. And are we gazing upon the beauty of the Lord? Are we inquiring? Is our hearts that of meditating and singing and prayer, worship? That's my desire, that we would be of the people that want to gaze upon his beauty and to bring sacrifices of joy. So life happens. Life is full of challenges. And how do we do that? You know, how do we keep a thankful heart and singing and praising and so on? Meditate on that. And, you know, I think a lot has to do with having a thankful heart. I know if I'm having a downtime or feeling bad, I often have to stop and say, oh, I'm not being very thankful in this situation, and I need to change my attitudes here. Psalms 107. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so is the little title for this chapter. 107, 21 and 22. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Are you telling of his deeds in songs of joy? Are you singing as you go about the day? And I remember some stories of people that went to help clean up after major storms in the South or other areas, and the volunteers were singing, and that as they worked, and it was muddy, it was mucky, it was you know, not fun work necessarily, but they were singing, and that singing along with the just showing up and being available so ministered to the natives there, to the people that lost property or so on. And it was a real testimony, a glory to God. They were in the midst of dirt and grime. They were singing, and that was a real testimony. Some examples of singing in the scripture. We all know Moses' song, Exodus 15. I'll just glance at that briefly. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but Exodus 15, when Pharaoh came after the people of Israel, and God rescued them by drowning the Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. Then in chapter 15, they sang a song, and this was a response of thanksgiving. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God. I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Miriam, down in, 19 and following there, 20 and so on. Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea." So there was a response back and forth, is what it seems like. Singing, telling stories of victory through song. I don't have the scriptures written down here, but different times, the armies of Israel went out singing as they went to war. And at least once, recorded in scripture, when they got to the battlefield, the job was done. God had sent an angel or something and slain the whole multitude. And it appears like, possibly because they were singing, God's people were singing and praising God, God moved in and did the work for them. That's an example where they sang in the midst of very challenging circumstances. The one I'm thinking about, I think it was a very small army and coming against a huge host, and God took care of the job. In Acts 16, we'll look at that one briefly. This is where Paul and Silas sang in the Philippian jail. We all know the story, but I think it would do us good to take a look at it again. Acts chapter 16. So they were accused of, they advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept to practice. The crowd joined in attacking them. The magistrates tore the garments off of them and gave orders to beat them with rods. When they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. And then verse 25 of chapter 16. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Another example where others were listening, and it brought a tremendous honor to God. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundation of the prison was shaken. Immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And go on, I'm not going to read it all, but he brought them out and washed their wounds. And he said, "What must I do to be saved?" So I think part of this revival or this work of God here was because Paul and Silas chose to sing in the midst of challenging circumstances. This jailer was baptized, he and all his family. And this was the beginning of the Philippian church. Then remember, we read, well, I guess we didn't read in Philippians, but one word when you read through Philippians, notice the words joy and rejoice. It just pops up over and over and over again. I am glad and rejoice with you all. And I mean, there's just different, the words joy and rejoice just come up over and over again in Philippians. And I don't know why for sure, but the beginning of the church there was started with praying and singing hymns in the midst of very challenging circumstances. What about the new song in Revelations? Let's turn our Bibles to Revelations chapter 5. There is going to be a new song, one that we can't sing here yet on this earth. I mean, in a sense, we can say the words, but we're not experiencing it yet. So when this time comes, we will get to sing a new song. And here it's recorded. I mean, I'm not sure how everything's going to work out, but this is recorded here, what John saw in the heavenlies. So Revelation 5, starting in verse 6. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns, with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So there again, I want to make the connection. Singing and praying go hand in hand, I believe. It can be very much the same thing even. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard about the throne and the living creatures and the elders of the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. So this new song, someday we'll get to join that chorus if we are faithful, if we live our lives in accordance to obedience and are faithful, we'll get to be part of this throng that is singing a new song and praising our God, our Lamb, that was slain and now is reigning as King. So songs minister to us at certain times in certain ways. And some songs mean more to others than to you, maybe more than me. Several songs that really ministered to me at certain times. One was My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. I know that's a simple song, but as I was, as a 10-year-old boy, my heart was open and soft and wanting to receive what God had for me. And I think my dad was with me. I'm pretty sure he was. I prayed and asked God to come into my heart and to set me free from my sin and so on. And this song, just as I was praying and confessing my sin and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit into my life, the song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and His Righteousness, just welled up in my heart. And that's been a favorite of mine ever since, that I know where my hope is built upon. It's on Jesus. And then one time when I went through a very, very challenging time, Does Jesus Care really ministered to me also. So now I would like to take a song, your songbooks, the Purple Martins, Hymns of the Church, and we're going to sing a few songs, and we'll see how much time we have. I would love to hear from you all a few of your, maybe a testimony or a song that ministers to you, maybe a favorite or a, maybe why a certain song ministers to you. So we'll sing a few songs also, something that I just kind of went through the book a little bit and picked out a few that I really enjoy and speak to me. So, okay, the first one that I have is number 31. And let's stand. We'll stand and sing for the praise of God. The song is maybe a psalm, or it's a song that is bringing praise to God. Number 31. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. The Lord Jehovah reigns. 107. Immortal, invisible God. Some of the songs, we'll just sing a verse or two, and maybe I'll just read some of them also. But so it's not just the music, it's also the words that we're looking at. But what do the songs do? Is it asking for God's presence? Is it telling a story? Is it teaching or admonishing? Think about these things as we look at some of these songs. All right? We'll sing the first and the last. Immortal, invisible God. So someone tell me, what does this song bring to your mind, what do you think about when you sing this song? Men or women?
Majesty of God.
Majesty of God. Good. Another thought? Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Activities going on
in heaven. Yes.
Sovereignty of God.
All right. So we are praising, but we're also learning some things, or we're extolling God's all these beautiful things, but also we are learning what heaven is like and what God is like. All right. Was there anything else? Okay. Let's look at 233. Now, this one is a new one for me. Heard it sung maybe once or twice. Who knows this song here? About 3 or 4 people? Okay. I think we'll sing it, but maybe we'll just sing 1 or 2 verses, but let's look at it a little bit. So this one here is talking about Jesus Christ, his life and ministry. Something I'd like to bring your attention to. So it's talking a little bit, telling a story about, you know, Jesus was in Galilee, by slumbering Galilee, the golden wave then rolled afar towards the western sea. When the men had knowledge of the Holy One of God, they journeyed forth through all the land and spread his fame abroad. So it's talking, telling a story a little bit, or recounting. And when they brought the suffering ones, the lowly and the dear, and laid them at the healer's feet from far away and near, they bent before the wondrous one and earnestly besought that they might only touch the hem around his garment wrought. He heard the prayer and gave the will and strength to touch the hem, and gave the faith and virtue flowed from him and healed them. For everyone whose feeblest touch thus met the Savior's power rose up in perfect health and strength in that accepted hour. O tender one, O mighty one, who never sent away the sinner or the sufferer, thou art the same today, the same in love, the same in power, and thou art waiting still to heal the multitudes that come. Yea, whosoever will, oh, sing of the loving one. Oh, sing of the healing one. Oh, sing of the mighty one. He's just the same today. All right, let's try this. Sing it out if you know it. So, it was telling a story. Then it is saying that he, the sinner or the sufferer, O tender one, O mighty one, who never sent away the sinner or the sufferer, thou art the same today, the same in love, the same in power, thou art waiting still to heal the multitudes that come. Yea, whosoever will. Is there anyone that is suffering, or the sinner? Whosoever will, He wants to be that healing one for you. Any thoughts about this song? What does it say to you? Or the where would it fit? Psalms, hymns, or spiritual songs? No thoughts? All right. Let's look at 376. So this is a song that I meditate on numerous times. I sing it in my mind. This is an aspiration song. Song that is maybe a personal song to me. And I love to sing it also as a group. I want to go deeper and deeper. And I bow before the Lord. Not of this world will satisfy me. Down at thy feet I do cast myself, Lord. Christ be my life, my full reward. Let's sing 376. I really like that song. It's speaking from my heart, what I aspire to. So we have, let's look at 420. We're not going to sing this one. This is brotherly, brotherly love. How sweet, how heavenly is the sight when those who love the Lord in one another's peace delight and so fulfill his word. When each one can feel his brother's sigh and with him bear a part, where sorrow flows from eye to eye and joy from heart to heart. When free from envy, scorn, and pride, our wishes all above, each can his brother's failings hide and show a brother's love. Let love in one delightful stream through every bosom flow, and union sweet and dear esteem in every action glow. Love is the golden chain that binds the happy souls above, and he's an heir of heaven that finds his bosom glow with love. Beautiful. Okay, 948. This song is more of an occasional song, maybe, but it's a song of warning. Where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? Let's sing one verse. First and last verse, two verses. Asking a question. Where will you spend eternity? 965. Lord, in the fullness of my might, I would for thee be strong. So an answer again, a proclamation and an answer to the last song we sang. Lord, in the fullness of my might, I would for thee be strong. While runneth o'er each dear delight, to thee should soar my song. We all know the song, labor up the heavenly hill with weary feet and slow. You know, why should I be filled with the earth's, you know, chasing the earth's things, and then labor up the heavenly hill with weary feet and slow. Oh, choose me in my golden time, in my dear joys have part. For thee, the glory of my prime, the fullness of my heart. First and last verse. Amen. One more. 975. I heard a sound of voices. So we're looking forward to the end, when we will be with the Lord in the air, and or with him wherever he is. Let's stand and sing this song again. We'll sing the whole song. And then I'm going to ask, I'm going to open it up, if we have time. We have time, yeah, Amos, for a couple, for some response? 975, I heard a sound of voices. What a day that will be when Jesus I shall see. You may sit down. Okay, just open it up for a couple minutes. Is there any testimonies or songs that ministered to you in maybe challenging times or something that is
a song that is near and dear to your hearts, something that would minister to the rest of us. Yes, Stanley.
Amen. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Very good. So we'll try and let the ushers get to you with a mic. That way the ones on the phone can hear. Anybody else have a song they'd like to share? Brother Anthony?
The song, "Oh, to Be Like Thee," is one of my many favorites. And there's a phrase in there that says, "Stamp thine own image deep in my heart." You look at a coin that is stamped with an image, it looks just identical to the original. Mm-hmm. And it's just a beautiful prayer that God would stamp his image in our hearts so we would truly live like Christ.
Amen. Thank you. Oh, to be like thee. Sister Linda across the aisle here, Titus. Across the aisle.
The song, "Be Still My Soul." Mm-hmm. The setting where this was sung, I will explain a little bit and why it has such deep meaning for me. When I lived in Washington, in my early years, I learned to know a family in the community, an elderly family. And over time, I learned to know their adult children. Some were married, some were single. And I especially became close to their daughter, Jackie, who was the only practicing Christian in the home. And one day I get a call from her. They were living in Nebraska, and she said, "My mother died, and my sister died. My sister was murdered. And when they went to the farm to try to find her body, her brother was there in his car trying to commit suicide with the exhaust pipe. So when I went to the funeral of the mother in the morning, and then in the afternoon was Karen, the daughter's funeral, there were so many emotions, just many and varied. I mean, there was sadness and deep grief. Karen was the mother of two teenage boys. There was anger and unforgiveness and just a lot of confusion and questioning. Then this song was sung, "Be Still My Soul." Mm. And they sang it with additional verses. Here we have three in the songbook, but there were at least six or seven, some that I had never heard of. And that was just a powerful thing to sing those songs. And all those emotions that were in that room, the Lord attempted to still them. And so I can never sing this song without thinking of that time in Washington.
"Be Still My Soul." Amen. Another one or two? Robert?
I'm reminded of Psalms 23 and how they put music to it. We sing it occasionally. Lord, you know, just ministers. Everywhere ministers to me, and I can minister that back to the Lord. As it says there, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It's a personal testimony that I bear.
Amen. Psalms 23. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you. So, the encouragement this morning is to sing. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And to admonish and teach in our singing, to praise the Lord, and to let our light shine in this dark world through song as we relate to our families, our neighbors, those around us. I enjoy, when I was a youth, going out all different places, and we would sing. And the people, I don't think some people ever heard, four-part harmony. And it was just beautiful. They were drawn to it. They'd stand there and, yeah. So, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering.